Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, amigos. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Oh, shit. Welcome back, friend. Now that the weather's sorted out and Chester's all defrosted, I'd say we're about back to normal. You feeling better, boy? Glad to hear it. That means your ass can sleep on the floor again. And for any of you out there who think it's cute to let your pet sleep in bed with you, I guarantee you've never smelled a gator fart. But let's head in, friend. I've had quite enough of that for 1 week. So check out SimplyScaryPodcast.com and become a patron. For as little as $7.99 a month, you can get our entire catalog ad-free and available to download or stream. Also, it helps us keep the lights on. So tonight we welcome back Alfred Alley by way of Velox Books. This one comes from Alfred's book, Ash and Bone, which you can find in Kindle, print, and audio. It's a tale of regional folklore set against the backdrop of rural Texas. So, without further delay, from author Alfred Alley, I give you Lechuza. The morning chill would be strangled soon enough. Temperatures were supposed to reach the 90s today. A typical spring day in Lampasas. Dan left the coat at home, putting on a blue flannel shirt over his t-shirt. He needed to be back in time to catch his ride. He kicked at the overturned patches of dirt, small patches here and there, as if someone tilled a garden and walked off before pulling the weeds or laying the seeds. Across the creek, he knew the fields looked like mortar rounds went off, like the pictures he had printed off for his history report on World War I. He was 12, old enough, his abuelo assured him, to help take down the feral hogs. A great group of wire-haired animals moving like an undulating mass across the fields and through the bush. They were coming too close to the house, the overturned dirt and rooted ground appearing just outside the wooden fence encircling their backyard. Too close to home, too close to the cow's pasture.
You want an allowance? $10 for each one you kill. Honor system. There's over 2 million of them in this state, so you should do all right.
His abuelo laughed, poured himself another cup of coffee, and waved goodbye. He had gray hair, dark skin, and rough hands. As a child, Dan used to imagine his abuelo's palms were made of low-grit sandpaper. He had a large nose and a wide smile. He couldn't as much as grin without showing off every tooth in his head.
You know,
his abuelo would say,
we don't look much alike, but me, your mama, you, we got the same stupid smile.
Dan grabbed his rifle. He loaded it outside and shoved a few more shells in his pocket. Only the grass within a few feet of the house was mowed, the rest allowed to grow without hindrance. He moved through the tall grass and slid under the barbed wire fence that ran along the tree line. He started a small walk, careful not to snap twigs, careful not to wander too far that he couldn't return to the house before his mom left for work. Dan stopped. He saw a patch of black against the green grass and gray tree trunks. He approached, but the shape never moved. Soon enough, he saw the hog. The animal lay on its side, back to him. At the animal's belly, exposed entrails and blood pooled in the dirt clumps until they appeared like black puddles. He looked for tracks, coyote, mountain lion, but found nothing. The animal was split from neck to belly. Nothing eaten or carried away that he could see. Then he heard the whistle. Long, starting low and going high, then settling down to silence. Dan looked around. The whistle came again, in several short bursts.
"Hello?"
Dan squeaked.
"Damn it!"
The breaking voice had been happening a lot lately. His mother teased him once about becoming a man, and he responded by storming to his room. He heard her apologize before he turned up the record player he took down from the attic the previous week, hiding himself behind Townie's Van Zandt. The whistle echoed again, pushing away the memory. He swore it was from above, but nothing that flew in land passes whistled like that. Dan backed up a few steps before turning around. He didn't run, but he walked quickly and never slowed, almost jumping under the barbed wire fence as he returned to the yard. His mother stood outside the house.
"You're going to be late,"
his mother called, pointing to her wrist, which never in his lifetime ever had a watch. She wore her hair down, the black strands blowing in her face. She moved her hair away with a brush of her hand. Even with the oppressive Texas sun, she was pale. She left as the sun rose and returned as it set. Her clothing screamed. She only chose bright colors. She insisted that color determined the mood and was determined to always have a good day.
"Sorry,"
he growled. He dropped the gun off by the front door and jumped into the car.
"You ready to go? You have your bag?"
"Don't need it."
Dan buckled his seatbelt.
"But..."
His mother started to speak, but Dan said again he didn't need it. She nodded and turned on the car. They were very much alike. He knew the expression on her face, frozen to conceal any emotion. He knew it because he wore it too, more often than not. He directed his pain to her, but where did she direct hers? They had a presentation in the gym at school. Dan found himself and the rest of the middle school crammed into the hard plastic bleachers. The speaker, 20 years too late, was attempting to lecture the children in a state beset by meth on the dangers of marijuana. The speaker, who insisted they call him Matt, leaned one elbow on the podium, flanked by the school's principal and superintendent. His sleeves were rolled up. His tie was a common blue. His hair was full and effortlessly styled. Matt appeared to have been designed by a committee, attractive in a generic catalog sense. He could put people at ease, but he could still be lost in a crowd of one.
"Can anyone name for me the three most harmful side effects of smoking weed?"
A lone voice responded.
"Nothing, nothing, and nothing."
The gym erupted. The speaker, hand raised and mouth open to respond, stood frozen, waiting for the laughter to die down. The heckler was a fellow seventh grader named Nathan. Dan buried his face in his hands to control his laughter, patting Nathan on the back. Most of the class referred to Nathan as Jufro, despite the fact he wasn't Jewish and his ginger hair was only slightly curly. Dan was a fan of the name, since it was nice that he wasn't the only one with a nickname. Their lesson on Vietnam led to the nickname Charlie, despite Dan, his mother, and his grandmother on his mother's side being born in Texas. His great-grandmother on his mother's side was Filipino, not Vietnamese, a fact he finally stopped trying to explain. Could be worse, of course. In fifth grade, the class read To Kill a Mockingbird to discuss race in America. The only black kid in class, Isaac, earned the nickname Tom Robinson. They were only kidding, of course, when they tried to psych him out on the court by asking if he raped that girl. They were only kidding, they said.
"Watch it, Jufro. Principal Jones is turning pink,"
Dan said. The laughter around them gradually died down.
Eat a dog,
Nathan said. His friends laughed. Dan smiled for a moment before turning to the speaker, hoping the heat flooding his face wasn't visible. He hunted, he fished, he knew the country better than a good 90% of his class. But even to the kid who transferred from a school in Maryland the previous year, Dan was the outsider. Always. He asked Isaac once in the cafeteria, how does he always keep his cool when they say that shit?
I don't know, Charlie. You tell me.
How many pigs you got?
His abuelo said, looking up from under the hood of the 61 Chevy. Primer gray with the bed nearly rotted away, the truck was a perpetual project for the old man. Like himself, he would often say two things break for every one thing fixed.
None,
Dan said. He kept his head toward the ground, still thinking about his talk with Isaac. It wasn't even a good insult, nothing clever, but it stung.
You okay, kid?
He wiped his hands using a rag so dirty that he was merely smearing grease across calloused palms. Even in the hot afternoon, he didn't break a sweat in long sleeves and jeans.
Good. Where's Mom?
She's gonna be late.
Right.
His abuelo cleared his throat. Dan stopped.
Look, kid,
he said, walking to him and placing a hand on his shoulder.
She's trying. Your daddy's gone. I'm good for nothing but a social security check. Helen's working damn hard.
Okay.
Okay, nothing.
His abuelo tightened his grip on Dan's shoulder. Dan pulled back. His abuelo stumbled for a bit before correcting himself. He squinted his eyes and hardened his face at his grandson and started to speak, but said nothing. Dan muttered an apology and went inside the house. The house was a two-story Victorian farmhouse, his abuela's pride and joy, her masterpiece. Since her passing, it was peeling white paint, had crumbling shutters, missing shingles, and windows clouded with dust. The house was always the next thing on his grandfather's list to fix up, right after fixing the truck. Dan's bedroom was on the second floor. For years, he tried to talk them into letting him have the attic. He wanted the highest point. He wanted to look out over the woods from that oval roof peak window. One day, he would think, I'll do that.
You didn't come down for dinner.
His mother knocked twice and opened the bedroom door. She closed it behind her, but remained standing against it.
Wasn't hungry.
He closed his laptop and sat on his bed.
I know that's a lie. You've been able to put away a pizza by yourself since you were 8.
She smiled. Dan crossed his arms.
Hun, I know. I get it. You don't want us to sell the land. But your abuelo and I think...
She said, starting to move to him.
No!
Dan snapped.
You want to sell it. He's just going along with it. I can tell. Honey, it was his. And Dad's. And mine. Now you're going to take it. You don't even get why it's important. You don't get it. No!
Even she seemed surprised, but she couldn't keep the face. She couldn't take a breath and suppress it anymore.
No, I know. I lived here longer than you've been alive. But I can't keep going like I am. I can't... You don't know. You don't know, Dan, what it takes to keep a job now. What it's taken me to keep drawing a damn measly check.
Her voice wobbled. Rage and despair crashed into one another, erupting at once. Everything she suppressed because he lost a father. Never letting herself observe that she lost a husband, a friend.
You want the woods to run away from those shitheads at school? Well, I need them too. I need to run away too. And this land can help us, all three of us.
Dan wouldn't look up. He didn't uncross his arms. She nodded and left the room. She didn't close the door behind her. He slipped out of the bedroom door a few hours later. He looked over the railing, only to see his mom in the kitchen, seated at the great oak table that dominated the room. He would need to wait to sneak a meal. Helen sat at the kitchen table, her work clothes eschewed in favor of pajama pants and a t-shirt emblazoned with the logo of his father's college band.
You mind if I join you?
More in the fridge,
Helen said, taking another sip from the rapidly warming bottle.
How you doing?
Well, Ed, I have to be there by 6 to prep my manager on the presentation I wrote and created so he can deliver it well enough to ensure the board thinks it's his.
Fucked up.
That's how it is. I'll probably be late again. Another one of his meetings. Either that or I work at the store again, bring in minimum wage and watch the bank take this place when I can't make the damn tax payments.
We'll sell it. He's just gotta grow up.
It used to be that coming home was the carrot on the stick, seeing my son. Now, I just have cheap beer and an empty kitchen.
Not always empty.
Thanks, Ed.
Dan ascended the steps. They creaked. Below, his mother turned toward the kitchen entrance. She couldn't see the stairs, but she hoped he was there. She hoped he'd heard. She wanted him to understand. Saturday. During the week, Dan couldn't force his eyes open at 6. On the weekend, he woke with a start, ready for the trees and the breeze, the heat and the sweat. Ready to hunt, lugging his rifle through the mesquite and brush and over the rocks and dirt. She was gone, already left for work. He grabbed a couple of granola bars from the kitchen cabinet and shoved them into the front pocket of his flannel overshirt. He would eat breakfast on the trail. His abuelo sat on the back porch.
You missed your mama,
he said, the metal porch chair squeaking.
I'll see her tonight.
Before you go, let me ask you something. What would your daddy say, seeing how you talk to her?
I don't know. He's fucking dead,
Dan said. Rifle in hand, he started to walk. His grandfather watched him crawl under the barbed wire fence and walk into the woods, his gait leisurely. The word stung him. He worried about Dan. He worried about the time his grandson spent in the woods. He worried about the truth in the stories he heard as a child. He worried about what he saw as a child, sitting in trees and calling him with a long, lonely whistle. Hunting could mean a number of things. In his camouflage coveralls, he was probably serious about bringing something home. In his jacket and jeans, he merely hiked the property. He wondered, could that kid from Maryland with the cowboy hat, the one with the brim rolled up tight, could he clean a deer? Had he ever shot a gun? He never looked at his phone. Only the dull ache in his legs made him realize how long he had been gone. How long he walked. He saw uprooted earth and hoof prints. Some small, a handful very big. He knew they were big. He knew they were dangerous if they had piglets, gun or no.
Shit!
His face stung. He had pushed through the brush and a length of thorn slapped against his face. The thin red line burned. Rubbing his cheek, he heard the mournful tune. The whistle once again came through the trees. He stopped. The sounds were louder this time, vibrating in his ears, unsettling his gut. Dan gripped the rifle close. The whistle called again, longer and higher above him. Dan whistled back, short and shrill. His abuelo always said never to whistle in the woods. It scared off game. To Dan, the rule seemed like an old wives' tale, but he insisted, from the time Dan could go off by himself, never whistle in the woods. Silence. No insects, no animals, no crackling leaves. Even the creek quieted, the volume turned down on the water's low rumble. Dan felt heaviness in his chest. He considered whistling again. Why was he shaken? The leaves above him crashed. Small dead limbs rained down, and he threw up his arm in defense. Something heavy slammed against his head. Unbalanced, he fell to the ground. No whistle, only a scream. Moving his arm and scrambling to his feet, he saw an owl. White feathers streaked in spotted lines of red and black. Yellow orbs in a round face. Spikes of feathers sticking out like horns. The creature screamed. Two more landed on thick tree limbs, causing them to creak. They were tall. He could swear 4 feet or more. The biggest, the one that screamed, unfurled a wingspan wider than his height. He could see the feet, scaly yellow legs with fangs biting into the branch. The eyes were yellow. Even with the sun behind them blurring Dan's vision, he could see the eyes glowed. Dan raised the rifle. The three whistled. The largest opened its beak, snapping it shut. They whistled. The largest turned its head slightly to the side, boring its gaze into the boy. Dan closed his eyes and fired. The rifle kicked, no more than usual, but this time he fell back. Eyes remained closed. The creature screamed, and Dan's head ached as if the creature's talons tore at his scalp. But when he opened his eyes, the three were gone. There was blood on the branch.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You hear about the woman, Sally?
Ed sat down at the table in the back of the cafe. Jackson, an older man whose sunken, toothless mouth exaggerated the features of his face, started tapping his finger on the top of Ed's table.
Say, Silas, you hear about the woman?
They found her earlier in the morning, 6 miles from Ed's home, her body draped over the conjoining limbs of 2 tall pecan trees. Naked, a gunshot wound in her stomach. She looked to be in her mid-50s, but no one recognized her, and her prints returned no matches. No missing persons in the state seemed to be a match either.
They said she didn't climb that tree. They said it was like she was dropped.
Jackson smiled wide, showing the battered, gummy smile. His eyes minuscule orbs in his face. He adjusted his hat. Ed nodded and took a sip of his coffee, letting it burn his throat.
A UFO?
Ed asked. He smiled and picked up his coffee.
Nah, bruja. You know.
Jackson laughed.
You know that, huh?
Ed nodded, taking another sip.
Dan?
Helen tried to rouse Dan. Her son was watching the remnants of his cereal soak in milk.
Sorry,
Dan said. He rubbed his eyes and sat up straight.
You okay? Yeah.
He heard the whistling the entire night, sometimes far, echoing low enough he could convince himself it was the wind. Other times the sound accompanied gentle clacks on the window. He finally crawled from bed, feeling vulnerable as his bare feet touched the hardwood. He took long steps to the window and parted the blind. The backyard was empty, except for what appeared to be the trunk of an old tree, standing alone in the backyard. 2 yellow orbs appeared in the trunk. Wings seemed to peel from the sides. He jumped back. The whistling began again. He went to his bed and crawled under the covers, pulling them over his head. He was 6 again. He was fighting off a bad dream. After school, he went into the kitchen. His grandfather stood over the sink, looking out the window.
How was school?
Ed asked, never taking his eyes from the window.
Good.
You hear about the woman?
They were talking about it at school. I found her in a tree.
Ed nodded, still fixing his eyes on the trees at the edge of the yard. The whistle started. Dan backed up against the table, knocking over a glass of water. Ed didn't respond to the broken glass. He looked at Dan and asked him if he heard that. Dan said he had. He asked when he first heard it. Dan told him about the woods, about the owl.
You whistled back?
Dan felt caught.
No.
Don't lie about this. Be honest. Did you whistle back?
No. What is it?
Lechuza. You know what that means?
Owl?
Yes. But it's not an owl. I heard them once. Even caught a glimpse. I was younger than you. I thought they were dead by now. But no.
What are they?
Witches.
He turned away from Dan, fixing his eye again on the trees.
Brujas. Very old. Always three. But now there's two. The reason I ask about the whistle is that if you respond, they zero in on you. On us. They're closer than family. Closer than lovers. They'll need another. And they'll come for the poor bastard that separates them. Always three.
Dan asked to go to his room.
Yeah. We're not going after the pigs. Not for a while. Not until they're gone. When I was 9, I was housebound for 6 weeks until they moved on.
He turned around to see Dan had left. Dan closed his door. He dropped his bag on the floor. He looked at the closed window blinds and wanted to peek, but he stopped himself. Witches. He wanted to laugh, but he couldn't shake the image of the great owl with glowing eyes. Hearing about the dead woman in the trees. The kids whispering about the lechuzas. The ones that brought death. She was late again. He heard the door downstairs creak open and shut with a quiet thud. She dropped her bag, inching up the stairs. From the kitchen, Ed said hello. She whispered hello back. She peeked into his room.
Hey, Mom. Hi. How are we? Good. You haven't been talking to me. You're still upset, but I can't put this off anymore. We found a buyer. Your abuelo and I. A fair price. He's ready, Dan. In the last few days, that's all he talks about. Selling this place. Moving on. It'll be better.
For you,
Dan said. He kept his mouth shut. His jaw moved forward. Deliberate breaths through his nostrils. He wouldn't look at her.
Yes,
she said.
For me. For all of us. We're not living, you know that, right? We're just caretakers. Taking care of what we lost. Pretending it's still here. I don't know if that makes sense. But I can't keep working like this to hold on to something that just reminds me, reminds us, of what's gone.
Dan said nothing. He wanted to tell her about the owls, about how he couldn't sleep and felt isolated and afraid. She approached his bed. She sat down on it, placing a hand on his.
I love you, Dan, more than anything.
Good for you,
Dan said, his eyes fastened on the ceiling. She gripped his hand. She waited.
We done?
She left. The whistles called him from his sleep as they had every morning. Saturday again, early morning. The sun barely peaked above the horizon. A full moon could cast a greater light at this moment. Dan sat up. Not outside his window. Not outside his house. Inside. He grabbed a club from behind the door. It would do until he got to the gun cabinet. Still clad only in his boxers and shaken, he descended the staircase. Sweating palms gripped the handle. He wheeled with every thought and ounce of his being for the stairs not to creak. But they did. The wood creaked, and the bits of carpet on the steps, placed to help steady his abuela before she passed, crunched. But the whistle continued. A long, slow call. The sound grew quiet as he reached the living room and rounded to the kitchen. No owl. A woman. Old. Long gray strands of hair, matted with leaves and dirt, fell from her head. She was naked, her skin blotched and gray. Portions of her skin appeared smeared and dotted with patches of green, as if moss and mold were growing from her flesh. He noticed his mother, mere feet from him, watching the woman. The woman's eyes were round, perfectly round. No irises, no color, but a yellow glowing from inside. She stood in front of the great oak table, the wedding gift, the wooden burden passed down to couples and their family for generations. The witch opened her mouth. She took a step forward toward Dan's mother. A scream erupted, piercing and inhuman, like three voices in one. Light poured from her mouth, dissipating in the air. She focused on Dan's mother, who neither moved nor acknowledged her son. He called to her. She did not answer. He grabbed her arm, forgetting for a moment how close he stood to the thing that terrorized him since that day in the woods. Since that day he fired the gun. She turned her shoulders to face him, but her head remained fixed. She too screamed something high and ragged, with light pouring from her gaping mouth, light escaping from behind her closed eyes. Dan cried out and fell to the floor. The witch left on wings. His mother bolted for the door. Her breathing was heavy and desperate. She struggled with the knob before moving through the yard. She pulled off her clothing as if they were a parasite that attached itself. She threw her shirt to the ground and tripped, falling hard. Above her, the owl soared gently into the trees. She gripped her pants at the ankles and pulled at them with another scream. She dove under the barbed wire. The rusted points tore her, leaving thin red lines down the length of her back. She scrambled across the ground. She picked herself up and limped into the trees. She followed the whistles. Dan cried for her. He screamed and ran to the fence. He looked at her clothes, lying in a heap in the dirt. He called for his abuelo. She was gone. Ed followed him into the woods. They walked for hours. They only found death, a dozen of the hogs, mutilated and left to rot in the sun and be picked at by the turkey vultures. They filed the missing person report. Ed and Dan posted flyers, stapling a smile and picture of Helen from 2 years prior, the most recent they could find, to every telephone pole and bulletin board in the city. At night, he lay in bed awake, waiting. Sleep came only from exhaustion, overpowering both his mind and the raw pit in his stomach.
What if I had said something else? anything else.
Each night he waited. Every creak and moan of the old settling house elated him for a moment. But the silence reminded him. She was gone. At school, he walked in a daze. Kids said things. Some gave him condolences. Others avoided conversation altogether. Nathan walked up to him between classes.
Hey, Dan. Look. Sorry about your mom.
He scratched the back of his head and looked at the ground.
Thanks,
Dan said. Nathan looked up and smiled. The air grew still and silent. The noise of the hall and ambling kids grew muffled. Nathan opened his mouth.
Wake up, little rosebud. Wake up.
His mother's voice coming from his friend's mouth like a poorly dubbed movie. The ambience of the crowded hall returned. Dan backed up against the locker. He then pushed past Nathan and ran outside.
The fuck is wrong with you, Charlie?
Nathan yelled. Dan didn't hear him. He could only hear her voice, over and over in his mind. Wake up, little rosebud. She would say that when she woke him up as a child. It was a quote from an old Popeye cartoon, one they watched before he could even walk. When the bus dropped him off, he went to the front door, but discarded his backpack and cut left. He walked behind the house into the fence, placing his hands on the rusted barbed wire. He looked at the billowing tall grass. The hiss of the wind through the leaves of the trees chimed in with the grasshoppers. Above the trees, vultures circled wide and low.
I'm sorry,
he called.
Mom, I'm sorry.
The air never moved. No whistles from the trees. Just a gentle chorus of wind-blown leaves and insects. When he went in the back door, his abuela was in the kitchen. He looked pale, his eyes nearly closed, every bit of his energy spent on keeping them open, like he was staring at the sun. He wasn't sleeping either.
She answer you?
What?
Your mama. She answer you?
No.
Good.
He nodded his head.
For both of us, I hope she doesn't. Won't you go to your room for a bit? Maybe watch some TV?
Sure.
He could hear them call him. Even at school, his only respite from the creaking home and empty woods, even in those fluorescent-lit rooms with the teacher scribbling on the digital whiteboard, he would cover his ears to block out the high-pitched call. He avoided conversation. Voices would shift in pitch or vanish altogether. Sometimes they would say things about him, about his childhood, things no one would know. No one but her. 7 days passed. Dan never went into the woods. Many times he slipped on his jacket and grabbed the rifle. Once he made it as far as the barbed wire fence, but he stopped. The woods seemed dark, the trees' long skeletal fingers entwining to block the sun. He waited for the whistle. Since his mother left, he found only silence. His abuelo, of course, checked on him, made sure he was fed. But he kept his distance. He kept his gaze on the windows or the TV, anywhere but Dan's face. On the 7th night, Dan fell asleep. He didn't undress. He still wore the clothes from school, the ones he wore the day before. He waited for people to notice. No one did. He woke, stirred by a voice.
Wake up, little rosebud.
He sat up, a dream. Even if he avoided the windows, even if he avoided a glance of them waiting in the grass outside the house, they just invaded his mind as well. Dan's lips felt rough and dry. His head ached. He needed water. Dan went into the kitchen,
keeping his eyes on the floor to avoid glancing at the windows. He downed the glass from the sink. Even on cold, the water seemed lukewarm. Returning to his room, he heard his abuela whispering. For days, he had been speaking in his sleep, sometimes loud enough for Dan to hear from his room. Tonight, he could hear him clearly.
Not you. Not you too. No, no, no,
he muttered, his voice cracked and soft. Dan thought about checking on him, but instead returned to his room. His abuelo would barely speak to him. Why relieve him of a few bad dreams? Dan laid on top of the sheets, arms folded over his chest, looking at the ceiling fan shaking and spinning, dinging quietly and rhythmically. Then the whistle, sharp and crisp, bouncing off the walls and ceiling. Dan sat up. The few times his grandfather spoke to him was to remind him to keep the doors locked, close the windows and latch them. He would say little else. Maybe point out a dinner was in the freezer. Maybe tell him to hurry so he didn't miss the bus. But otherwise, lock the door. Keep windows latched. He did as he was told. He avoided the windows because he knew what he could see. At night, he had seen their eyes through the limbs of the trees. He saw two figures perched on the fence posts. The past few nights, two of them stood as sentries in the backyard, always closer. If he heard them as well, his abuela said nothing. He just talked in his sleep and sat in the kitchen. That night, he didn't even remind Dan to keep the windows closed. In the darkness, two sets of glowing orbs appeared, one perched on the footboard of his bed, the other scratched at the wood of his desk. Dan watched the blinds move gently. His window was open. He never opened his window. Dan slipped from his bed, lowering his feet slowly to the floor. He moved backward, never taking his eyes from the great birds, which shook and ruffled their wings. He broke his gaze to alert his grandfather. Behind him, Dan could see into the hall. His abuelo's door was open, his lights on. His legs were visible, sprawled on the floor. Dan was alone. Turning back, the feathers were replaced with flesh, thin arms drawn up to the sides like wings. The eyes remained as round and shining as before. When they opened their mouths, their teeth appeared as if a magnet pulled them from their sockets, drawing them in a cluster to act as craggy, decayed beaks. Before him, a third figure rose from the ground, towering, looming over him. Dan dropped to the ground, the height of the creature pressing him down. The eyes shone in the dark, as did the mouth, the wide open mouth. The birds whistled, but the figure, unleashing a guttural moan, moved toward Dan.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And that was Lechuza by Ilford Alley. A little about the author. Ilford Alley is a horror author and illustrator. His latest novel is the haunted house tale Never Leavin', and he's written and illustrated two children's books, A Cemetery Stroll and A Haunted Holiday.
He lives in Oklahoma with his wife and children. Thanks, Elford, and a special thanks to Velox Books, publisher of all your favorite No Sleep stars. Check out Elford Alley's catalog at Velox, but also take a peek on audible.com where you can find his excellent novel, Apartment 239. Ghosts, serial killers, conspiracies, a monster, and tons of dark humor. You can't go wrong.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, at least till tomorrow night at 7 Central. You're planning to be there, right? At the Sinister Somnolence YouTube channel? Good. I'll pencil you in for tomorrow night. Say hi in the comments. Now grab a drink for the road, friend, and may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Chester's in the chat, he says. It warms the scaly prick's heart. And until tomorrow, go fuck yourselves. Good night, friends.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.